automatically falling open there. That's good. And if you would, stand with me again for the reading of God's Word. Chapter 5 of Ephesians, beginning with verse 18, the second part. But be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one has ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is profound, and I am saying that it refers to Christ and the church. However, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. You may be seated. So, in just kind of getting to the point and kind of being frank, I've come to an understanding in these passages that can be summed up in one long statement. And all of you wish that I would just state the statement and then be done. But that won't be the case. But I am going to state the statement. It's this. The reality of our struggles in marriage, whether submission or love, is less a struggle with the marriage partner and more a struggle with Jesus Christ. The reality of our struggles in marriage, whether it is submission or love, that is either husband or wife, is less a struggle with the marriage partner and more a struggle with Jesus Christ. As we look at this concept of submission and respect, by the way, we're going to talk to the wives today. Husbands can listen. I thought about bringing duct tape to put over the mouths of men, to bind the hands of men so there's no poking and prodding. I'm just going to trust that, men, you'll keep quiet and not antagonize your wife. But you will just listen with grace and love and an occasional nod of affirmation or denial or whatever is appropriate. But let's not choose today to be looking at our spouse going, are you hearing this? Are you hearing this? Are you hearing this? Are you hearing this? That doesn't help the situation at all. But as we look at submission and respect and next week, this role of husbands to love, our struggles in seeing this as a reality in our marriage is more of a struggle in our relationship with Jesus Christ than it really is with our marriage partner. We tend to always make it about our marriage partner that, well, they just don't help me to love them, or they just don't help me to submit or respect them. But the reality is, as we look through the instructions here and what Christ is saying through Paul, is that it's an issue more of my relationship with Jesus Christ, and my lack of ability to submit or respect is because of my relationship with Jesus Christ, and my inability to love is a result of my relationship with Jesus Christ, not the other person. And hopefully we've been laying that foundation over the past several months, and we'll talk a little bit more about that, but I hope that this week and next week we can come to grips with why we took all of the time that we have taken since, what, September, October, whatever it was that we began, to lay some of these foundational elements to get to these 2 weeks. I mean, I know that a lot of us, and myself included to a great degree, are sitting here going, why didn't we just get to these 2 weeks? But we needed all that other stuff in order to get to these 2 weeks, to understand what's going on. So we come to this instruction, verse 22, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. And verse 24, now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. And verse 33, however, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. Just a couple of observations and then we'll kind of go into more of the bigger picture. But in verse 24, most of our Bibles say now, as if it's a continuation of what Paul has been saying. The reality is the word there is but. And it's a contrast. And so what Paul says is, but, or however, or in contrast to verse 23, but as the church submits to Christ. And I just want to highlight again, and you'll get sick of it, and I hope that you do, but it gets ingrained in your head, that the focus is Christ and the church. And we're getting out of that, the marital relationship. And so, but as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to the in everything to their husbands. By the way, I find it really, really, really interesting. Just my personal perspective on it. In both verse 22 and in verse 24, where it talks about the wife submitting to the husband, in both of those verses, the verb submit is missing. Now, we've talked about verse 22, right? We've talked about 22, and we recognize that it can pull it from verse 21, and that's what it does. Verse 24 actually says, now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives and everything to their husbands. It's assumed there. It's good. I'm not trying to argue it. I'm just trying to bring us to the realization that the word itself is actually missing. It's grabbed from the context. In other words, part of what I think Paul is trying to say is the church submits to Christ. We're not arguing that, right? And so wives, let's make sure that you're connected to the church-Christ relationship. Wives, you've got to find the verse for what you're, or the verb for what you're supposed to be doing with your husbands back as you look at Christ in the church. I'm not just going to hand it to you. You need to be looking at Christ in the church to understand the verb that I'm placing in the role of women. So that's just an observational sort of thing. In verse 33, however, let each one of you love his wife and let the wife see that she respects her husband. We're not going to spend a lot of time on this because, quite frankly, I'm not sure that I understand it. Respect is a very loose translation. A very loose translation. It probably should be better reverence or reverential fear. The Greek word here that is used is phobos, from which we get fear, from which we get phobias. So women, you're supposed to have a phobia of your husband. I don't know if that, I'm not sure if that's an overstatement. That might just come naturally. It might not be an instruction that needs to be made. I'm being very honest with you. I'm not certain how this fits into the text. And some of you might have it figured out, and some of you might, you know, just can educate me later. But it is the same word that we use when we're talking about how we relate to God. And I know a lot of us get these knee-jerk reactions of, well, see, it's not fear, it's the awe, it's the reverential treatment. Well, the problem is, it's the same word, it's the same contextual settings where we use it for, you should be like shaking. Fear. So I'm not sure if it's more of a justification that we try to say, well, it's just this reverential awe. Or if it's a total misunderstanding of what the word is actually supposed to be saying. And now I know if we were in a different culture, in a different time, it might fit really well that wives should be fearful of their husbands. But I don't think that in the context, that what is trying to be said is that a wife needs to wake up every morning shaking and trembling before her husband. So in just total transparency and honesty, I'm not entirely certain what that is supposed to mean. So our focus on something that I feel a little bit more comfortable with is on the concept of submission. But respect is a part of that, and they work together. And so while they overlap, let's look at them in conjunction with one another. What are some of the characteristics of submission? And you'll be proud of me. I actually did some sermon notes for you. Don't get used to it. But this just fell into place. What are some of the characteristics? I think these are important things to pull out of the passage and even some other passages. First of all, a characteristic of submission mandates that we have relationship with Jesus Christ. We can kind of, should I call it faux submission? we can kind of submit. If you look at the world, you kind of see a picture of submission at times between individuals. But the reality is we can't really submit to another person apart from relationship with Jesus Christ. And so to have submission in its truest sense, relationship with Jesus Christ must be present. One who is a follower of Christ in some fashion, one who is not a follower of Jesus Christ has some sort of selfish motivation in the process, which in and of itself makes it not true submission. And so for it to be true submission, it has to be done without self-motivation, which means it has to be done through Jesus Christ. And so submission requires that there's relationship with Jesus Christ present. What else is there? Well, there's this concept between forced or obligated and willful, or your choice to submit. There are legal terms, de facto and de jure, and you could look all those sort of things up. But we all know some circumstances, and let me just try to paint one for you as an example, and then we'll look at some definition stuff. But imagine you're driving down the road, and you're speeding 90 miles an hour down Highway 12. For some of you, that's comfortable. For others, you know, that's a little fast, but some of you, you're like 90. If you only knew what I did down Highway 12. And let's just paint another part of this picture. No, let's not. So you're going 90 miles an hour down the road. Lights come on behind you. They happen to be red and blue lights. Indicating what? Go faster. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so the lights go on. Maybe some of you choose to go faster. There is going to be a point in time in which you are stopped. Yes? Yes. Do you have a choice in that? I can apply the brakes and I can pull over and I can willfully submit myself to the authority of the police, yes? Pull over, window down. If we're good, we have our hands up on the steering wheel so they don't think that we're digging for something, right? All that kind of fun stuff. And we say, yes, officer. And they say, do you know why I pulled you over? And you're like, no, I have absolutely no clue. Could you enlighten me, right? Do I have a headlight out? But you're following me, so I'm not sure how that works. I was speeding. Yeah, I guess I was speeding a little fast. I thought we were like Texas and the speed limit was 75 or 80 or something. Or no speed limit, Eastern Montana, right? We have a choice in the process, yes? We can sit there and we can do that. We can pull over, we can stop, we can admit that maybe we were wrong. And so we willfully choose to submit. Or we can put the pedal to the metal. And we could see what happens. I know that law enforcement's a little bit more hesitant these days because of idiots. But they could put these little strips out that'll help you stop very quickly. And you really might not like the way that you stop very quickly if that's the case, especially if you're doing 90 or 100 miles an hour down Highway 12. Right? And the reality is you're going to stop. And the officer probably is going to approach the vehicle a little bit differently when you get stopped. And more than likely, the officer's not going to just sit there and go, could I please have your license and registration? But the end of the story is you will submit to the authority of the police officer, right? Is it now willful any longer? No, it is now forced. Here's the dilemma. We have approached wives submitting to husbands under this premise. And we've totally missed the biblical instruction of this. And more often than not, let's admit it, pastors, guys, let's admit it, more often than not, it's been us kind of with this iron fist. Wife, you will submit to me because that's what the Bible says. And so let's look at this word a little bit more. There's a definition here for you. It comes from Blue Letter Bible. They do a really good job. I'm not saying they're the end all be all, but they do a really good job. Go ahead, Amy, put this definition up. This is the word for submit. The Greek word is hypotasso, but here's what they define it as. By the way, they list all these definitions, and then this actually was a substatement. In other words, what they're trying to say is, here are the technical definitions of it, but by the way, we need to come to a really good understanding of what submission is. So here's what they say. This word was a Greek military term meaning to arrange, as in troop divisions, in a military fashion under the command of a leader. So here's what they're saying. This word submit was originated for the purpose of military. That's what it was intended for. But then they go on to say, however, or in non-military use. Now, maybe I should stop for a second. Are we functioning in a military capacity in the body of Christ? Now, we know we're at war, right? I mean, we could go down that road. But are we functioning in a military capacity? No. So we have to look at the non-military use, which is it was a voluntary attitude of giving up, cooperating, assuming responsibility, and carrying a burden. Notice that three quarters of this definition in non-military use gives us the idea of a partnership more than it does a hierarchical structure. Cooperating, assuming responsibility, carrying a burden. And notice it's all a voluntary thing. It's a willful choice in the process. And it involves giving in, but not exclusively just giving in. It's cooperating. It's assuming responsibility. It's carrying a burden. If submission, then, draws us into what we might loosely define as partnership. How many of you remember back to week number one on marriage? I think it's chiseled in stone. Remember the creation of man, woman, all this kind of stuff? Remember the Hebrew word given for woman? Ezer, which means helper. And Ezer Neged means suitable helper, suitable partner. And so in taking this concept of submission as it's defined here, a voluntary attitude of giving in, cooperating, assuming responsibility, and carrying a burden, we have this greater picture of a helper rather than a slave in the image. And may I remind us that God himself describes us in several different passages as an easer, as the helper. And yet, I don't know too many of us that would look at God as being our slave. So, woman created in Genesis 2, now turned wife at the end of chapter 2, and through that marital relationship, it was created to help, to partner with. So what does all this have to do? Well, if the role of submission is not always to give in, or it's not to just succumb to the authority that the man says and stuff like that, as we have often tried to make it seem, but it has more to do with giving up yourself for the sake of your partner, then our approach to submission has to also change. But that's where the problem lies, because we've kind of beat each other over the head concerning wives submitting to husbands as if it's supposed to be something that's not willful, but something that is forced. So, married ladies, raise your hand for a second. Well, Karen doesn't have surgery. She can raise her hand. Next week, we'll have to figure out something for Chris, right? But we'll be talking about married men. No, keep your hands raised for a second. I'm going to put mine down because I'm not a married lady. Heather, why are you so hesitant to put your hand up? Oh, it's just kind of excuses. get your hands up. Some of you are kind of, I think I'm married. I'm not sure. Well, I think last time. Okay. Okay. Get your hand up. Thanks. Derry's like, I'm happily married. Okay. Oh, he gave you the evil eye. Okay. Now, keep your hands raised. Keep your hands raised. Put your hand down if you were forced into that marriage. I'm ignoring the couple hands that I saw go down but come back up. You can put them down. See, here's the crazy thing. When we get married, we willfully enter into this relationship. And many of us probably didn't even realize it at the time because I'm going to just make a blanket statement. Us pastors are usually pathetic about talking about it in premarital counseling. But the reality is when you said, I will and I do, you said, I place my husband in this position and I willfully submit to him, which means, look at the definition. Nope, go back. I willfully give of myself, cooperating with him, assuming responsibility, and together carrying a burden. That's what you're committing to. You're committing to a partnership in this process. In other words, I'm not going to leave him high and dry. We're in this together. We're in this for the long haul. We are creating this bond. It's why Paul can say, in quoting Jesus, in quoting Genesis, the two shall become one because they are partnering together. They are becoming one with each other. Now, I recognize that at the time that each of us got married, it was probably easier to acknowledge and to willfully offer submission to the spouse. I mean, flowers and cards and chocolate and gifts. And who knows, the guy might have actually even opened the door for you at that time. Right. And then marriage goes on and things wear and tear. It becomes more difficult. But regardless of the changes that take place in life, it doesn't relinquish the need for submission of wife to husband. A third characteristic of submission is it's unconditional. Submission is unconditional. Notice in this passage, and we'll be looking at some others as well, there is not a conditional statement. It doesn't say, if or when the husband loves you, then you submit. It doesn't say, if or when you feel good about your relationship, then you submit. It doesn't say, when things are going your way, then you submit. It says, wives, submit to your husbands. It is unconditional. And unfortunately, too often in our marital relationships, we want to approach this as a conditional thing. And so how often have you heard, have I heard, well, I'm not going to submit to my husband because he is just not loving me. We're actually going to look at that here in a little bit. There's actually scripture that talks about that. Well, he's just not loving me, so I can't submit to him. I can't partner with him any longer because I just don't feel it between us. The role of submission by a wife toward her husband is not grounded in what her husband is or isn't doing. It's not dependent on the husband's behavior, the husband's attitude, or anything else. The role of submission falls squarely on the shoulders of the wife. And single gals, make sure that you take that into consideration when you are contemplating this concept of marriage, because from day one, you stand before the pastor, you stand before God, you stand before witnesses to say, I do commit my submissive relationship to that man for the remainder of my life. Remember my counseling on marriage in the fall? Question number two. Nope, question number one, how's your relationship with Jesus? Yep, right, because that's got to be first. Second was, no, that's kind of wrapped in the question one. It's one really big ongoing question. No, question number two to the wife, how are you submitting? How is your submission towards your husband? Remember, I don't believe that the issue of submission is an issue between the wife and the husband. I believe the issue of submission is relationship between the wife and God. Because the relationship between wife and God, and we'll see this, ladies, don't get upset at me yet. We'll see this for the role of men as well. But the issue of submission, husband and wife, is really an indicator of this relationship here. So with this, while... Oh, you jumped ahead, Amy. That's okay. While it is unconditional in nature, that means there's not conditions as to when you do and don't submit. We kind of walk a fine line because while it's unconditional, it is also not unconditional obedience. There are circumstances and situations that warrant submission but disobedience. You're like, well, how does that work? Well, first of all, it works because if you think that submission means, well, whatever I says goes, then you misunderstand submission. And now we need to go back to the definition because submission is the partnership. But if you understand that submission is a partnership and it's a giving in and it's a carrying a burden together. And really, if we begin to look at it, what it is it's a partnership for the spiritual well-being and the spiritual formation of the individual to whom you're married. If we understand that it's a partnership, then all of a sudden I can begin to realize I can submit to my husband because of the partnership and be disobedient to the action that he is requesting. Because the action that is being requested goes in conflict to the partnership of spiritual formation or spiritual development. And there's no way of providing an extensive list of those. And actually, I wouldn't want to provide an extensive list because I hate to say our human nature is such that I'd begin going through this list and I'd be going, oh, well, see, I don't have to submit here and I don't have to submit here and I don't have to submit here and I don't have to submit here. Rather than sitting here going, I submit in every and everything. Right? Verse 24, in everything, submit to your husbands. I submit to everything, but there are times when disobedience is called for. One of them that is really easy for us to paint in this picture is something along the lines of abuse. When the welfare of a life is at stake, I believe that you can submit and be disobedient. I believe that a wife can still submit to her husband and be disobedient, if you would, to the actions that he requests. I don't believe abuse is the only situation, but I believe it's the easy one for us to pull out and to illustrate with. I kind of want to throw a caution in there, though, but I won't. The other aspect that I come to, and it's important to kind of look at the context and understand what's going on, but in Acts 5:29, turn there with me really quick. Acts 5:29. Actually, let's just start with 5:27. And when they brought them, they set them before the council. These are some of the apostles arrested, right? They're brought before the council and the high priest, that is the Jewish ruling leadership, questioned them, saying, we strictly charged you not to teach in this manner, yet here you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching and you intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Verse 29, but Peter and the apostles answered what? We must obey God rather than men. And I do not want to yank it out of context. They are talking about proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. They are talking about the proclamation of the risen, living Savior, the person, Jesus Christ. And yet in that context, I believe that it is safe to say that as a wife, being in submission to her husband, and that just sounds really funny, me saying as a wife, but as a wife in submission to her husband, I believe I could stand here and say, I cannot do what you ask me to do because it violates the person of Jesus Christ. And so I believe you can still be in submission, but be disobedient to whatever the instruction, the command, whatever the husband desires. Because the submission is in relationship to the spiritual formation. And so what you're really saying is, I submit to you. You are my husband. I love you. We are in this partnership together. But what I am telling you right now is what you're asking of me is not healthy for either of our spiritual formation. And I know that becomes dangerous because Well, then who defines what's good and what's right? Simple answer, Jesus. So if the relationship between husband and wife is for the spiritual formation of the spouse, then so as long as it conforms to the lines of the spiritual well-being of the spouse, submission is to be significant because it's a partnership on the spiritual journey. And that's why we took the time to lay all of those foundations over the past several of months. It's necessary to understand woman as Ezer Neged, the suitable helper, to understand that marriage isn't about love or about children, but that marriage is about God and relationship with Jesus Christ. And really, it's ultimately about a partnership which is created by God to be used in our spiritual formation to allow the fullness of Jesus Christ to be more fully revealed within us. So why should we submit? Other than the straightforward answer of Scripture says so, right? The really nice thing is that Scripture provides some understanding as to why we should submit. First of all, because it illustrates the role of the church towards God. That's the entirety of the passage here. Why should wives submit? Look at verse 24. But as the church submits to Christ. So the marriage relationship, the reason submission is present is that it is to reflect the relationship between the church and Jesus Christ. It's a visible image of the church submitting to Christ. And honestly, I see this vicious cycle that is going on. And I'm not entirely certain as a pastor where to enter into the vicious cycle, because what we see is that the church is lacking submission to Christ and the wife is lacking submission to the husband, and the church is lacking submission to Christ and the wife is lacking submission to the husband. And there's this vicious cycle that keeps going on, and I don't know where to go. Stop. Because it's really easy for us to look and say, well, I look at my church and I look at the relationship they have with Christ and I see this going on. So apparently it's appropriate for me to do that at home because that's supposed to be representative of my life with the husband. But then I go, I look at our marriages and I look at how, I'm sorry, pathetic many of our marriages really are in relationship to husband and wife and the role and the functionality. And I go, well, no wonder the world wants nothing to do with Christ, because wives aren't submitting to husbands. And so they can't see how the church submits to Christ. And that just adds to the fuel that the church doesn't then submit to Christ, and it goes on and it goes on and it goes on and it goes on. Because what is it that we're really demonstrating? Selfishness. The primary reason for submission in the marital relationship is to reveal Christ to those around us. See, we get kind of twisted up and we get uneasy when we begin to talk about submission, because honestly, Scripture has been abused in trying to talk about this. And yet if we keep it in the context of what Paul is talking about, it is this relationship with God. And maybe the problem is this. Maybe the problem is that for those of us who claim to be followers of Christ, we so detest the concept of submitting to Christ that we can't even begin to fathom how it works out in our marital relationship. I mean, if we detest the concept of submitting to God, we're going to struggle with the concept of submitting to anyone else, let alone a wife submitting to a husband. We come up with all forms of justification and rationalization to avoid the simple instruction of submitting. We use culture and cultural sensitivity, and we use comfort, and we use personal preferences, and we use so many other things to justify our lack of submission to Jesus Christ. Well, that was then, and this is now, and I can't do it that way anymore. And Christ, you mean Christ would actually ask me to not be so consumed by consumerism? No way, because, we are just a wealthy nation. nation, and we are a Christian nation, and so therefore, and the Enlightenment, oh my goodness, why wouldn't I use the intellect of man over the intellect of God? Because we have become so much smarter in the process, and we rationalize and we justify our lack of submission to the person of Jesus Christ. And so why wouldn't we carry that into our relationships? When the world looks into our marital relationships, they should see something that is just bizarre. Because of the partnership in working together that ends up revealing the nature of the church and Christ. Second reason we should submit. I've called it relational reconciliation. Called a relational reconciliation with God and with others. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 3. I don't want us thinking, well, okay, that's Ephesians, but there's other passages that talk about wives submitting to husbands. Absolutely. So we're going to visit a couple of them. 1 Peter chapter 3, starting at verse 1. Likewise, wives, be subject to your own husbands. That's that same word, submit, right? Wives, be subject or submit to your own husbands so that even if some do not obey the word. Whoa, here's a condition now. And the condition is it doesn't matter what your husband's doing. Because here's what Paul says. Submit so that even if some do not obey the word, if they don't even understand what submission is, look at it, they may be won without a word by the conduct of their wives. When they see your respectful and pure conduct, goes on, do not let your adorning be external, the braiding of hair, the putting on of gold jewelry, or the clothing you wear, but let your adorning be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which in God's sight is very precious. For this is how the holy women who hoped in God used to adorn themselves, by submitting to their own husbands. Do you see the passage? Peter now it's not Paul, so now we're hearing from another male voice. But Peter says, well, I guess you should submit so long as they're following Christ, right? No. In fact, he provides great reason for doing it when they're not following Christ, so that they might be one. In fact, if you look at it here, it says so that even if some do not obey the word. The word used for obey the word is a reference to both disobedience as well as disbelief. That word that is sitting there that says do not obey the word, or the phrase that is saying do not obey the word, actually means both disobedience and or disbelief. Now, we immediately jump to the disbelief and we say, so if you're married to somebody who doesn't know Christ, the fact that why if you submit to your husband might actually open up the door of opportunity that this person could be one to Christ. And that's how the ESV translates it and many other Bibles. They could actually be one to Christ. But you know what that is also saying? Maybe you're married to a Christian and they're not following Christ right now. They're going through a bad role in life. They're being disobedient to Christ. Peter says, you should still submit. Because it provides the opportunity to reconcile, first of all, the relationship with God. But in reconciling the relationship with God, it reconciles the relationship with each other. So a wife's submissiveness could be the very working that draws the husband into or back into a lively relationship with the person of Jesus Christ. Paul talked about this in 1 Corinthians 7. We just missed it. So if you happen to live with an unbelieving spouse and they are willing to remain with you, do so because you might win them to Christ. Peter just narrows it down a little bit further and says, How can that happen? It can happen out of that submissive heart and attitude, which says, we are in this together. I'm not leaving you. You know what? At this point in time, we disagree on the path our lives are taking. I'm pursuing Christ. You're not pursuing Christ. But that doesn't change my role in submission to you. It may still mean that I'm disobedient to you. And I know that you're not going to like that. But it doesn't change the fact that I'm in partnership with you and I am submissive in that process. Third reason that that we see instruction for wives to submit to husbands, turn to Titus. If you're at Hebrews, keep going backwards. If you're at Ephesians, where we're kind of at, go forward. Titus chapter 2. Beginning at verse 3, older women likewise are to be reverent in behavior, not slanderers or slaves to much wine. They are to teach what is good and so train the young women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled, pure, working at home, kind and, there's that dreaded word, right? Submissive to their own husbands. Why? That the word of God may not be reviled. We don't have a clear understanding. The word of God, because it's used throughout Scripture, is it the written word, the Scriptures? Is it the gospel? Is it the person of Jesus Christ? I think it's all three. I think it's all three, so that none of those things are reviled. And by the way, the severity of this, that word reviled, I think when we translate Scripture, we're sometimes trying to be too nice. That word for reviled, anybody have any ideas? Blasphemy. So let's look at the verse with that put in there. Be self-controlled, pure, working at home, kind and submissive to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemous. So take a little bit stronger tone. So take a little bit more serious nature to what transpires here. By the way, blasphemy, one of the other alternative definitions other than reviled, is just to have spoken evil of. So the way in which wives and husbands relate can send a nonverbal message to those around us about whether we speak evil or we speak good of the person of Jesus Christ, of the gospel of Jesus Christ, of Scripture. Let me sum it up with three statements. Number one, and these are all for wives. Husbands, you may not ignore them, but we're talking about wives submitting to husbands. Number one, wives, how you treat your husband reflects your relationship with God. How you treat your husband reflects the relationship with God. I want to be absolutely clear on this. Your submission or your lack of submission has very little to do with your own willpower. If it has to do with your willpower, then it means it's all about us. Your lack of submission or presence of submission doesn't have to do with your willpower. In other words, I can't make myself submit more. What your lack of submission or presence of submission indicates is the condition of your relationship with God. And see, we so quickly want to go, you chose to sit up front.
Yeah.
So we choose to go, Kelly, you know what? You are not being submissive to your husband. Now, first of all, I think we come at it with the wrong definition that I hope we're gathering some clarification on. But you are not being submissive to your husband. You need to be more submissive. And I really think that's the entirely wrong approach. I think what Scripture is showing us in this process, because as Paul links it to our relationship with God, I think the problem needs to become, Kelly, you're claiming this intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. But how you're reacting and working with and dealing with your husband is not indicating the same relationship that you're claiming to have. Now, I know some of you are sitting there going, well, you know, you're just splitting hairs. No, I don't think that I'm just splitting hairs. I think the one is legalism. The other is relational. And I think it's a long way from splitting hairs. And far too many of us come up and say, Kelly, you are not submitting to your husband. You need to straighten it out. And far too few of us come up and say, Kelly, your words and your actions don't seem to be matching. And the solution is not for you to become more submissive. Your solution is for you to dig deeper into your relationship with Jesus Christ, which will ultimately lead you towards greater submissiveness. Number two, wives, how you treat other people in public is a reflection of how you treat your husband at home. Now, I know some of you are just sitting here going, what? Verse 21, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. For me, it's a very easy connection. Women, how you treat people in public is how you treat your husband at home. Number three, how you treat other people is a reflection of your relationship with Jesus Christ. How you treat people is a reflection of your relationship with Jesus Christ. Father, it is certainly my desire, and I believe your desire, and I believe the desire of the church that you established, that you grow, that you prune. God, it is all of our desires together to say we want to live out the relationship that we claim to have with you. And Father, when we look at this circumstance, sometimes it's really tough to talk about submission and wives. But God, I am so desirous to have wives in this body who are so fully sold out in submission to their husbands that the world looks at them and thinks they're weird and they're crazy and they're bizarre. But it's because of their passionate love for you. And as a result, their passionate submission for their spouse. Because I want our marriages to look like our relationship with you, Father. I want our marriages to look like what the church and Jesus Christ are supposed to be looking like. So, Father, I pray, I pray over the women of our church. Those who are married, those who are not yet but long to be married, and even those who can't stand the thought of marriage. I pray for the women in our church that you would build within them a deep longing of submission for the sake of Jesus Christ, for the glory of the Father. And that the dependency would not be on their own ability, but their dependency would be on the fullness of your Holy Spirit at work in transforming them from the inside out. And Father, I pray that you would help us as a church to be accepting of the role of husband and wife together. That you would cause us to welcome a real understanding of a wife submitting to her husband. Because, Father, as I look at that passage and as we look at the husband's role next week, I am reminded that it's not just the wives in submission to the husbands, but there's this flip side that also represents the relational role between the church and Christ. Father, cause us to fall back in love with our marriages. And in singleness, I pray, Father, that we would learn what these roles look like in relationship simply to one another. Outside of the parameters of marriage, Father, men to women and women to men. That they would bring glory to you.